Bring incredible sound into every corner of your home with the new WhimSound smart speaker. Get high-resolution audio with a 1.8-inch touchscreen, smart control, and modern design in one powerful speaker for just $299. From quiet mornings to lively family gatherings, WhimSound makes every moment sound better and feel better, too. Create a home filled with sound you love. Ready to upgrade your sound? Shop now at Amazon and search WhimSound. That's WhimSound.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Well, hello, everybody. My voice cracked there. Jeez, hello. Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, America. And a lot of the Irish are celebrating. And by the way, have you noticed this is, the one holiday that everybody gets to culturally appropriate, because I see a lot of people celebrating today who are not, in fact, of Irish descent. Regardless, it's great to have you along for the conversation today. And we've got a lot of news to get to. Of course, everybody is talking about the resignation of Joe Kent, one of the nation's top counterterrorism guys. Joe Kent, the director of the National Counterterrorism Center, also inside the White House, he was known as one of the leakers. Now, just a little while ago, we got word that Joe Kent had officially resigned. He announced his resignation, citing his opposition to the Iran war. And he also said that that Israel had undue influence over the Trump administration's policies. Mr. Kent writing a letter, and he posted all of this on social media. He says, "I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby." Mr. Kent now becomes the highest-ranking Trump administration official to quit over the Iran war. This is coming from the New York Times, their post published just a little while ago. Now, Tucker Carlson is very excited about all of this. As a matter of fact, Tucker, doing a brief interview with the New York Times, said, quote, "Joe is the bravest man I know, and he can't be dismissed as a nut. He's leaving a job that gave him access to highest level relevant intelligence. The neocons will now try to destroy him for that. He understands that and did it anyway." Mr. Kent has long had a penchant for conspiracy theories, claiming that intelligence officials had a hand in the violence around the J6 attack on the Capitol. And some Republicans were quick to call out Mr. Kent's remarks on Israel. As a matter of fact, Congressman Don Bacon, who is a far-left Republican, also a former brigadier general in the Air Force, responded this way to Mr. Kent's resignation: "Good riddance. Anti-Semitism is an evil I detest, and we surely don't want it in our government." Mr. Kent's post included the resignation letter addressed to President Trump, in which he argued that Israeli officials drew the United States into the conflict with Iran. Mr. Kent wrote about what he saw as a misinformation campaign by high-ranking Israeli officials and the news media. He said he had undermined Mr. Trump. He said all of that had undermined the president's America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. I want to stop here for just a moment, and I'm going to read the entire letter that he posted. I think this is important for us to have a conversation about, because there's just a lot of fog right now within the administration and why specifically we are at war in Iran. Why are we there? What is the reason for that? Now, this guy, Joe Kent, is not some sort of a fly-by-night at all. And the reality is that there is a divide within MAGA world. And I'm trusting the president on this. And I have from day one, and you guys know my position here, Donald Trump took a bullet in the head for the nation. So therefore, I'm willing to give him a whole lot of leeway. But I was reading a note yesterday, some family members, they have a loved one, a child who is serving in the military, and they were told that that individual may in fact be deployed until possibly May or June, which means that this war could go on. I know we've already declared victory, but the fighting is still going on, and there really is no end in sight because I don't think anybody understands what is the end game here. Did we go into Iran for regime change? Did we go into destroy their capability to build nuclear weapons? What exactly is, why are we there? And that is something that I think the American people deserve to know. I think it's important for us to understand exactly why we are there. Clearly, within the administration, there has been a divide on this. It's very clear that the vice president of the United States disagrees with the president's position on this, but the vice president being a team player, but he clearly has backed away from those conversations. And that's a noble thing to do, and that's a respectable thing to do. But now that you have administration officials coming out, and here's going to be the argument from the other side. As a matter of fact, the White House is offering some commentary on this. And I'll tell you what, I'll read that to you. This is coming from Caroline Leavitt. And let me read this from Caroline Leavitt. All right, she's, and I wish we had audio here, but we're just getting statements. So we're passing all of this along to you as we get it. This is all happening in real time. So Caroline Leavitt says, there are many false claims in the letter, but let me address one specifically, that Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation. This is the same false claim that Democrats and some in the liberal media have been repeating over and over. As President Trump has clearly and explicitly stated, he had strong and compelling evidence that Iran was going to attack the United States first. This evidence was compiled from many sources and factors. President Trump would never make the decision to deploy military assets against a foreign adversary in a vacuum. Iran is the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. The Iranian regime is evil. It's a long statement here, folks, so bear with me. Iran proudly killed Americans, waged war against our country, openly threatened us, all the way up to the launch of Operation Epic Fury. Iran was aggressively expanding their short-range ballistic missiles to combine with their naval assets to give themselves immunity, meaning they would have a degree of capability that would give them immunity to hold us and the rest of the world hostage. The president, I'm just sort of scrolling through this long message here from the White House. So here's the problem with this. We don't need a long statement from the White House. We need the president and his team to come out and respond to these accusations. We don't need a long statement. And what's going to happen is people are going to say, oh, Joe Kent was a rogue guy. No, he was hired by the administration. So, again, this administration has a very bad track record when it comes to hiring people. So one of two things is true here. The White House is telling the truth, President Trump is telling the truth here, or Joe Kent is telling the truth. And Joe Kent, this represents the divide right now within the Republican Party and the MAGA movement to some extent, because, again, it's, you've got to factor into the context here, because you have the Tucker Carlsons and the Megyn Kellys and the Candace Owens and the Nick Fuenteses and the Steve Bannons and the Alex Joneses. And, yeah, those are only a handful of people, but their message goes out to millions of people. And millions of people are influenced by what they hear from this crowd. And now what's happened here is that Joe Kent has become their savior to some extent, because Joe Kent is now basically giving credibility to everything that Tucker and all the others have been saying. So my question, ladies and gentlemen, as we're working through all of this, do you have concerns about the war? Do you believe that we should just continue to trust the White House and continue to trust President Trump, that he knows what he is doing here? And that, because, look, I think they thought that Iran was going to cave on day one, that it was going to be sort of in and out, you know, a 3 to 4 week, you know, thing. And, you know, we're in and out of there. I don't think that's happening. So again, one of the reasons why they may not be telling us what the objectives really are, or the objectives are changing, is because when they can come out, they could come out this afternoon and say, the war is over. We have completed our objections. We're out of here. And you're like, wait, what? What? Well, what were we there for? They never have to tell us. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's an odd place to be in right now. And I'm still a part of Team Trump, but I'm open to hearing all sorts of theories and ideas about what is really going on inside the administration right now. I'm not willing to say, and I know there are people out there that say, well, we're losing our way here. No, I don't think we are, but I think we're in danger of that. And it's going to be very important for the president to get refocused on domestic issues. What is the phrase I'm looking for? Lickety split. Yeah, we're going to have to refocus our efforts on the domestic agenda, because there's a lot to do there. And I'm telling you, I was getting messages last night. I don't know if you filled up your tank, but we warned you, gas prices are going to go up. Gas prices have gone up. And short-term memory, nobody's going to care that they're still lower than when they were high during the Biden administration. They're going to care because the prices came down and now they've gone back up. And that's the reality of the war right now. So, you know, that's hopefully going to resolve itself. But hear me, if we are still in the middle of hostilities in June and July, it's going to be a hard sell for the Republicans to get reelected. I mean, I'm being honest with you. It's because the American people did not sign up for another long forever war. And that's what this is certainly looking like, because again, why are we there? That's the question. What is the purpose? And my question also would be, okay, we were under imminent threat. Has the threat been neutralized? Have we been able to neutralize that threat? And look, they may not be able to come out and tell us, and I don't want them to come right out and say, here's what we're going to do. But I think at some point they're going to have to tell us, we have neutralized the threat and the war is over. And at that point, perhaps they could tell us what the threat was. So our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to finish reading from this Caroline Levitt essay. She said, the commander-in-chief determines what does and does not constitute a threat, because he is the one constitutionally empowered to do so, and because the American people went to the ballot box and entrusted him and him alone to make such final judgments. And finally, the absurd allegation that President Trump made this decision based on the influence of others, even foreign countries, is both insulting and laughable. President Trump has been remarkably consistent and has said for decades that Iran can never possess a nuclear weapon. And that is true. However, she did not answer the question. The allegation is there that Israel influenced our decision. She said it was insulting and laughable, but she did not say it was not true. And I think that's a fair point. If Israel was about to go in with or without us, I think that is something that needs to go into the calculations here, and the American people need to know that. But again, I think, again, we were all in danger. Iran, going back to 1979, every other president since that time kicked the can down the road. Trump said, there's no more road, and he bombed the crap out of Iran. I mean, that's what happened. All right, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Hey, everybody, Todd Stearns here, and I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already, and at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Stearns. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Stearns, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Stearns or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900, and say Stearns.
All right, welcome back. So, senior administration officials are now weighing in, and a lot of folks are going to be off the record. By the way, the president weighing in on this, and we're going to play that in just a moment. But this is coming from Fox News. A senior administration official telling Fox that Joe Kent was a known leaker and he was cut out of the president's intelligence briefings months ago. The White House told Tulsi Gabbard he should be fired for suspected leaks, but she never did. He has not been part of any Iran planning discussions or briefings at all. So, look, if any of that is true, then why wasn't he fired? If the White House knew that he was a known leaker, why not just fire the guy right out of the gate? And if they told Tulsi Gabbard, who is the Director of National Intelligence, that he ought to be fired, and she failed to do so, then she ought to be fired today. She should be gone by the end of the day, if in fact all of this is accurate. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Johnny is listening to us in Eastern Texas on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Johnny, what's on your mind today?
I don't look for this war to be going on for at the most another month. I just don't see President Trump. He's not going to tell us the plan or when what his plan is, because he said that the first time he ran, that he just doesn't tell the plans. The media tells the plan, and the whole world knows it, and the enemy knows it. How can he said he wouldn't let nobody know his plan. And another point is the 4th of July is coming up, and it's going to be our 250th birthday. And I just cannot see President Trump being in the middle of a war still. I mean, he's planning on having a big celebration, I'm sure, for the 250th birthday. And I know he's going to have this thing all wrapped up. He's got to have a plan. And I just put all my trust in him. I mean, the guy's smart. And that ain't the only reason why I voted for him. But, I mean, the guy is not a politician, and he just tells it like it is.
Well, yes, he does. And I look, I'm supporting the president here. Do I have concerns about Iran? Absolutely. But again, I'm willing to give the president some leeway here to do what needs to be done. I mean, we all know that Iran has been a major player in international terrorism for decades. I mean, and nobody's wanted to deal with the problem. The question is exactly how much longer is this going to go on? That's the question.
Like I said, I give him another month on it. He's got to have a solution because, I mean, Memorial Weekend's coming up, and I mean, it's just going to be bad if it goes on. If it lasts, I'll give him through the end of April, but it shouldn't even take him that long. The thing is, the Strait of Hormuz has always been a problem. I mean, oil's going up now because of a war. I mean, oil could go up anytime Iran decided to block that thing up. That's always been a problem. They're using the war as a business excuse to drive the oil prices up. I know it goes up a little bit when military is doing all these exercises. I mean, the military burns more oil than
all right. Yeah, Johnny, I hear you, but we got a break here. But thank you for the call. 901-260-5926. Johnny says war is going to be over soon. What say you?
Gold and silver recently soared to record highs, then pulled back. So are precious metals still a good buy? Many Wall Street experts predict higher prices ahead. Why? Because we still have trillions in national debt, a declining dollar, and inflation that keeps shrinking our savings. Even with corrections along the way, gold remains a historical hedge for wealth protection. That's why Morgan Stanley's chief investment officer ditched the 60-40 stock and bonds portfolio and recommended up to 20% in precious metals. They're getting educated, and you should too. Call Lear Capital at 800-992-2255 for your free gold investment kit and learn how you could qualify for up to $20,000 in bonus gold. Lear Capital has over $3 billion in transactions and thousands of five-star reviews. Call 800-992-2255. That's 800-992-2255 or visit LearAlex.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Sorry for the delay here. Want to give you an update, and this is for all of our radio affiliates, many of whom have switched to our radio stream. We just got word from Westwood One, which is the satellite that they have, the satellites that we use to distribute this program to radio stations all across America. Westwood One has had some sort of a massive outage that is affecting a number of shows, including ours. So I know we're getting a lot of messages from very anxious radio program directors right now. This is completely out of our control. And team, let's just, again, as a recommendation, I know we're getting a lot of calls from stations, so tell them they can feel free to carry the stream, which is up and running. So certainly our apologies, and we're hoping that Westwood One will get that worked out very quickly. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Ted in Salem, Oregon on KYKN. Hi, Ted. What's on your mind?
Hi there, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, Joe Kent, I remember him from the local TV news as a radical leftist demonstrator, long-haired demonstrator, leading, I think he might have been Antifa, always on the news because he was always up front. And then all of a sudden from Vancouver, he was up in Portland, Vancouver area. I think he lives in Vancouver across the river from Portland. And he cleaned himself, cut his hair real short, and like he was a veteran and a loyalist and all this stuff all of a sudden. And I was shocked to see that happen. But that then he got elected as a Republican up there. So, yeah, I think he's an infiltrator, and that was his purpose.
You know, it's Ted, again, when you look at all of this, and again, President Trump, and we're going to play his audio in just a moment, it just seems to me that if, in fact, the White House is telling multiple reporters now that they knew this guy was a leaker all along, they told Tulsi Gabbard to fire the guy. I'm just wondering, why wasn't he fired the day they found out he was leaking?
Could have been, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, Ted, it's a great thought you have. Thank you for calling in, sir. 901-260-5926. All right, here is President Trump just moments ago in the Oval Office, and he's weighing in on all of this. Take a listen.
Well, I read his statement. I always thought he was a nice guy, but I always thought he was weak on security, very weak on security. I didn't know him well, but I thought he seemed like a pretty nice guy.
Yeah, so there you have it. That coming from President Trump. All right, we'll keep you updated on any further developments here, but it just seems to me Tulsi Gabbard's got to go too. If she failed to fire the guy, that's on her. Bye-bye. 901-260-5926. So Senator Tommy Tuberville is making a lot of headlines. He pointed out that the enemy, talking about Islam, is not at the gates. The enemy is inside the gates. And Senator Tuberville, very alarmed at the rise of Islam in America. And we had a now viral conversation last night on my Newsmax TV show. I want you to take a listen.
Joining me now, Senator Tommy Tuberville, that Republican from Alabama. Senator, good to have you with us. So, look, I'm just wondering, do you have any regrets by what you posted?
No, I don't have any regrets whatsoever, Todd. Thanks for having me on. I meant every word I said. I mean, there's a reason we're over in Iran right now trying to free a country that has been taken hostage for the, what, last 47 years. President Trump's doing the world a favor, not just doing our country a favor, but also, you know, as you had on your screen there, the enemy is inside our gates. We got them here. Joe Biden and Barack Obama brought them here by the thousands. It's a disgrace. You know, if you preach or teach Sharia law, you need to go home. You don't fit in the United States of America. We're a Christian country. If you pray to the Quran speaks out that kill all infidels. And infidels are people that are not Muslims. And that means all Americans and all Christians that are not Muslims. So I have no regrets. I was the flavor of the week last week by all the so-called leaders of the Democrat Socialist Party of go after Coach. He said something bad about our voters of the future. The Muslims are the voters of the future for the Democratic Party. And so, I'm going to tell it like it is, Todd. I've said that, I've done that since I've been here, and I'm not going to back off now.
No. Look, we got your back on this one, Coach. As a matter of fact, Kristen Gillibrand from New York, I'm not sure if you're aware, but you triggered her. Here's what she had to write about your remarks. This type of Islamophobia is disgraceful and unbecoming of a senator. Delete it immediately and apologize. You know what I find unbecoming is a government that allowed millions of very dangerous jihadists to flood into our country so they could target American citizens, Senator.
Yeah, open gates, globalists, let everybody in for 4 years, not knowing who they are. Very few were vetted, if any at all. They're building cells all over the country. We got a fight on our hands coming, Todd. And, you know, if you just look what's happened to Europe, I mean, to ever get their country back the way it used to be 10, 15, 20 years ago, they're going to fight in the streets. Yeah, it's going to have to happen. The people are going to take it back. We're to the point right now where we need to make a decision. Do we want to wait till we have to fight in the streets, or do we want to kick them out now and say enough of this? President Trump is on target with what he's doing in Iran. It's going to make matters worse here. And again, you've got these people that hate this country, and I'm talking about the Democratic Party. They hate the way it is. They want to regain power any way they can. Their new girlfriend is not African-American. It's not union workers. It's the illegals and the Muslims of this country that are begging to vote for a Democrat. And enough's enough. They got to go.
Isn't it interesting, Senator, the New York Times publishing a story today eulogizing the, quote, Islamic Academy of Alabama, a K-12 school in Birmingham. Did you know that school existed?
Oh, yeah. They tried to expand, and I want to take my hat off all of the people in that community. They went to a school board member and says, no more expansion of this school. They're teaching Sharia law. They're going by the Quran. And, you know, they said they weren't. But all you had to do is look at their website. I mean, we're not stupid. I mean, we actually can read. And the things they were teaching is not what is about the United States of America that you and I grew up in. And they hate the Constitution, and they want to brainwash these kids. And again, let me say this. It's not just Muslims. It's kids that they want to bring into their fold that are not of the Muslim faith, but they want to integrate all their thoughts into the minds of these kids. And we've got to stop it now. And so, yeah, they stopped the expansion there. Hopefully I'll be the future governor of the state of Alabama, and I'm going to give them every opportunity to leave, go somewhere else. I'm telling you, we're not going to do that in the state of Alabama.
You know, the folks I think about here, Senator, are the folks being ignored by the mainstream media, the New York Times, CNN. They're not talking about those brave ROTC cadets who had to use their bare hands, we believe, to take out that jihadist in the classroom at Old Dominion University, who, by the way, should not have even been here in the country. I mean, we're importing these people to kill us. What about those brave young people that save lives in that classroom?
Exactly. You know, ROTC kids, and they didn't have a weapon other than one had a knife. They saved people's lives. And it's just, it's sad to see the people across this country have to go through this because, you know, we've been taken by surprise and taken advantage of by the Democrat Party in this country. They're taking our Constitution and this freedom of speech and all these rights that we all should have in this country, but they're using them against us. And they're using it by allowing these people to do whatever the heck they want. We've got a corrupt justice system. Judges are letting them out right and left. It's hard to imagine the situation that we've got ourselves into. We're not as far along as Europe, as UK and France and Italy and Germany, but we will be that far if we don't wake up. We have to wake up now. We have to talk about it. A lot of my Republican colleagues won't talk about it because they're afraid they'll lose a vote. Folks, it's time to quit worrying about getting reelected and talk about the things that we need to save this country. And this is at the top of the list, is stop this radical Islamist nonsense, because they want a caliphate in this country and they want to kill every American. They do not want to assimilate, and we've got to talk about it, and we've got to make sure people understand that.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Senator Tuberville, he's not backing down. This is the line in the sand for him and for a lot of Republicans who say we have to address this. We must. So my question is, do you agree or disagree with what Senator Tuberville just had to say there? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, you folks have a lot of choices when it comes to cell phone service. No doubt about it. You've got new companies popping up every single day, all sorts of deals, whatever. But here's the truth. There's only one cell phone company that actually stands in the gap for every American that believes freedom is worth fighting for, and that is Patriot Mobile. The good news here is that you can actually switch to Patriot Mobile today without sacrificing quality or service. Are you worried about coverage? Well, don't be, because Patriot Mobile uses all three major U.S. networks. So if you have service in the country today, you're going to have it as good as or better with Patriot Mobile. And switching, it is not a hassle. You can keep your number, you keep your phone, you can even upgrade if you want to upgrade. Patriot Mobile, 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to get you activated in minutes, right from the comfort of your home. All you have to do is give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. You can also go online. They have a special website just for our listeners, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Now, whether you call or you go on the website, use my promo code Todd, and they're going to give you a free month of service. Trust me, you're going to love it, folks. Patriot Mobile. We'll be right back.
Gold and silver recently soared to record highs, then pulled back. So, are precious metals still a good buy? Many Wall Street experts predict higher prices ahead. Why? Because we still have trillions in national debt, a declining dollar, and inflation that keeps shrinking our savings. Even with corrections along the way, gold remains a historical hedge for wealth protection. That's why Morgan Stanley's chief investment officer ditched the 60-40 stock and bonds portfolio and recommended up to 20% in precious metals. They're getting educated, and you should too. Call Lear Capital at 800-992-2255 for your free gold investment kit and learn how you could qualify for up to $20,000 in bonus gold. Lear Capital has over $3 billion in transactions and thousands of five-star reviews. Call 800-992-2255. That's 800-992-2255 or visit LearAlex.com.
Todd, good day to you. About this leaker you're talking about, you know, once you have identified a leaker and they're not aware, but they can be very useful in passing misinformation along. don't be knocking their continued possible use of him, knowing that he was a linker. Oh, well, have a great day, guy. Take care. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Ed, from Texas. By the way, Ed was not able to call in, but he was able to leave us a shout-out. And you can do that by downloading our free app. And you not only can you listen to 24 hours of great conservative talk radio, but you can also send us a message. And we play a lot of those on the air. So feel free to do that. You can go to toddstearns.com, click on the app button, and you'll be able to download it free of charge. We do that as a public service to you. All right, let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Richard in Ocala, Florida, WOCA. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind today?
Howdy, Mr. Todd. Oh, Mr. Todd, I was just sitting there listening to that interview you had with that Tuberville. Man, I appreciated that. That was so truthful and spot on. Man, I like that guy. He reminds me of Trump. American people love Trump because he told the truth and he wasn't afraid to tell it. And this guy sounded like he's falling right in his footsteps. What he's saying is true. And it is the Democrat Party and the news media that's played a major part in bringing these people in and destroying our country. I think we should do something about it. I'm not sure what the answer is, but I think getting them out of here as quick as possible. And we got to do that. And Trump, I think he needs to fire those people. You mentioned firing that lady. I think he should, too. Trump's got to fire his own administration and put people in there that'll do what's right. That guy that's telling that he should be have charges pressed against him. But anyway, that's just my opinion on that. Just one other thing, Mr. Todd. He said we was a Christian nation. We was founded as a Christian nation. That's 100% spot on. But we was founded as a Protestant Christian nation. And that's so just want to correct a little bit on that. But yes, I appreciated you giving that guy an interview, and I agree with everything he said.
Well, thank you for that, Richard. Look, I love Senator Tuberville. He's leaving the Senate, and he's running for governor. He wants to be the next governor of Alabama, and I think he's going to make a terrific governor. But what I love about Tuberville is that he doesn't apologize, right? And you can't apologize to these leftists. That's because they don't want an apology. They want your head on a platter. So all I can say is, you know, God bless Tommy Tuberville. I slipped up a couple of times and called him coach. Of course, one of the great football coaches out there, but certainly a great American patriot, and he's doing a terrific job right now, a terrific job on Capitol Hill. All right, I want to play some audio here from Speaker Mike Johnson just moments ago. The Speaker lecturing the Senate and saying they must force a vote on the Save America Act. Take a listen to Cut 4.
We do everything in American society. Why not to vote? It's ridiculous for them to oppose it. We are cheering along the Senate Republicans in trying to force this through. Hopefully, we can get this to the president's desk for signature. It's a top priority, not just for Republicans in Congress. Again, common sense versus crazy. It's crazy to say that you should not be a citizen or not have ID to vote. And it is common sense, and it comports to the American people.
Yeah, it's absolutely common sense. So we're going to jump into more of this a little bit later on in the show here. But John Thune, his hand is going to be forced here, and the Senate is going to have to take action. By the way, when you look at the base of the party, nearly 90% of the MAGA base actually support President Trump's war against Iran. That is, as a matter of fact, here is CNN. Take a listen to Cut 5.
Okay, MAGA GOP on the U.S. military action in Iran. Look at this. Nearly 9 in 10, 89% approve of the U.S. military action in Iran. That is the MAGA GOP base. Just 9% disapprove of it. This is tremendously popular among the Republican base. And, of course, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, overseeing the effort. It seems to me that a lot of people are taking that into account, including President Donald Trump, who has been smiling an awful lot at Marco Rubio lately.
Yeah, they've been making googly eyes. I don't know if you've seen that. It's very odd. But no. I think the president is very happy with the work that Rubio is doing. Oh, by the way, yesterday, Trump was giving a press briefing, and we carried this live on Newsmax. And I don't know if you heard the president say
that he was going to be very honored to take Cuba. And there was some pushback there. The reporter's like, what do you mean by that? And the president did not expand on that idea, but it certainly sounds as if the president is, I don't know if we're about to get a new territory. Are we going to make Cuba the 51st state? Nobody knows. But the president said he's going to be very honored when they take Cuba. Someone asked, does that mean you're going to take Cuba militarily? And the president did not respond to that. So keeping his options open there. You know, I think a lot of folks would love to go vacation down in Cuba once they, you know, get into the 21st century. They're still stuck back in the 1950s. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. Here's the deal. We've been dealing with some satellite issues. Westwood One, which is our satellite provider, and their signal reaches so many of our radio stations around the nation, so they're having some issues. So folks, they're working through it. So if you're having any sort of a problem hearing the program, that is the reason why. I want to give out our telephone number for on the St. Patrick's Day edition of the program, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Interesting story out of Social Circle, Georgia. Any of you folks know where Social Circle, Georgia is? Well, they have officially stopped water service and cut off water service to an ICE detention center. This is coming from CBS News. The headline, Social Circle officials cut off water to site of planned Georgia ICE detention mega center. The city sent a message to U.S. Customs Enforcement saying no water or sewer service for its planned detention center until the city gets information. The city said, and they shared a statement saying it placed a lock on the water meter connected to the warehouse ICE plans to convert into a facility that could hold thousands of immigration detainees. They say the lock is there until ICE indicates how water and sewer will be served without exceeding our limited infrastructure capacity. So they want to know how many illegals are going to be housed in this massive facility. According to Homeland Security, the center is expected to hold as many as 10,000 illegal aliens. They believe that the facility should be available to house detainees sometime in mid-May to early June. They're going to employ up to 2,500 people, but that all is contingent on whether or not they have water and sewer access, which Social Circle Georgia says is not going to happen. And I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on this, and especially you folks that live in Georgia, where you've got city leaders there in Social Circle that are going to war against the Trump administration. And I'm looking through right now, and it's not a very large community. But I am very curious to know if there are Democrats, Republicans, or if this is a nonpartisan council. But anyway, this small town in Georgia now pushing back and said, you know, no water, no sewer for ICE. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You folks in Georgia, meanwhile, you got to love this story. Elections have consequences, ladies and gentlemen, as they have discovered in Virginia, where the Republicans decided to stay home and not vote. And as a result, the Republicans were trounced at the ballot box. Now you have majorities of Democrats in the state house there, the House of Delegates, in the Senate, and of course the governor's mansion. And the latest news is that the Democrats have all passed legislation that would basically restrict guns. It would be a gun ban in Virginia. However, the Democrats exempted themselves in the legislation. So the only people that would be allowed to have guns in Virginia would be the criminals and the Democrats, which is sort of the same. But now there's new legislation. And I want all of you white folks to pay attention here just for a moment. The governor of Virginia, Abigail Spanberger, is set to sign a new piece of legislation that would provide minorities 42% of all state contracts. So if you are a white person, you would not be allowed to put in a bid on a state contract. Take a listen.
Virginia just passed a bill that prioritizes government contracts based on race and gender. The bill, HB61, is now sitting on the governor's desk waiting to be signed. So here's what it does. It forces state agencies to hit a 42% quota for SWAM businesses, meaning businesses owned by minorities, women, or certain designated groups. It also sets aside government contracts under $100,000 specifically for those businesses. Translation, if you're a small business owner who doesn't fall into those categories, you're pushed to the back of the line, not because of price or quality or experience, but because of race and gender quotas. That's not equality. That's state-mandated discrimination in government contracting. And it's happening right here in Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, if this is actually signed into law, which I have no doubt that she's going to do that. I mean, this woman's a radical leftist. She campaigned as a moderate, by the way, but she's a radical leftist. This is basically going to codify racism in the Commonwealth of Virginia. It's really remarkable. So HB 61 is called the Small Business Procurement Enhancement Program. And there's a statewide goal of awarding government contracts to certified small SWAM businesses. And SWAM actually stands for Small Women-Owned and Minority-Owned Businesses. So if you're a white guy, you're hosed in Virginia. You're not going to be able to get any government contracts. Just unbelievable. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And what is old is new again, because in a way, they're almost introducing a new version of slavery in the Commonwealth of Virginia. But it's directed at businesses run or owned by white men. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to a break first, though. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Gainesville, Georgia. Steve is listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
You've been talking about the detention centers. I'm a contractor, and I can tell you a lot about these type things when they're originally set up. They're set up, actually, zoned for warehouses, distribution centers. There are hundreds of them in this part of the country because of our geographic location. You can shoot it to Savannah, Atlanta, Greenville, Spartanburg. We're right in the middle. Great for those storage facilities. And it's based on the number of people. I would imagine this facility probably would have said maximum 50 people. That would be employees, secretaries, people loading, truckers coming in, using the bathroom, maybe 50 people. Definitely not thousands. So I think it's going to be a problem there, because I don't know that this they've got the infrastructure and sewage capacity to handle those many people.
So you think this may be a legitimate issue that the city of Social Circle is dealing with, not necessarily political?
Trump's a contractor. He's had to cross this bridge before.
Right, but Donald Trump is not personally overseeing the construction of the detention centers.
I understand that, but he's got people that is making these decisions that should be smarter than to go and get tied up into, because my understanding, they're buying these facilities, not leasing them.
That is true. That is correct. Now, we have heard this, that a lot of communities, and I know this was happening in the Memphis area, where the local communities are not getting the heads up. You know, they're getting alerted after the fact that, you know, they're building these detention centers in their backyards.
Yeah, they're everywhere here. I mean, you can drive down 85, 985, and there are hundreds of them. And who's renting them is people like these factories that they'll ship their stuff and then they'll send them to the dealers and the retail stores and then Amazon's, and that's who's renting them. But they're set up for maybe 50 people, you know, employees. They're not set up for thousands. So I don't know how you create that much sewage capacity, because it's the sewage more than it is the water.
I'm curious to know, hold on, we're looking this up in real time, the population of Social Circle. So here's the deal. They're saying the detention facility could end up populating, 10,000 illegals at a time, 10,000. The entire population of Social Circle, Georgia, is about 5,400. That's the latest census numbers we've got. So you're looking at more than doubling the population of the town. So you're saying that the water and sewer system would not be able to accommodate that much growth without building more infrastructure.
Yeah, because when you set these up, you got to go through zoning and planning. That's the first step. They sign off on it, and then you get a permit to build it. And that permit, in my opinion, would be set up for a warehouse with probably 40 to 50 or 60 employees max. That's what they permitted it for. And to take that and put that, I don't know how you do it.
Well, no, your explanation makes a lot of sense. And when you actually look at the numbers, you really understand, okay, maybe there is a legitimate issue here, and they're not trying to make a political statement. But I will tell you that the national media is already looking at this as if this small town is standing up to President Trump and standing up to ICE, and they're saying, you know, we're not going to let these illegals in here. But Steve, I appreciate you calling in, because, again, there may be another side to this, which is they do not have the infrastructure to accommodate a facility this large, because, as Steve mentioned, normally the warehouses, the sewer lines and water would accommodate upwards of 50 to 60 people, not 10,000. All right, that makes sense. I can believe that. I can believe that. All right, let's go to John listening to us on WDUN in Georgia. Hi, John. What's going on?
Good afternoon, Todd. Good to talk to you. First off, let me say I'm a 70-year-old, 20-year military veteran. And my first statement is I feel like that 80% of politicians in this country, from Washington all the way down to the local level, are corrupt and on the take, all elected officials. That's my first statement. And I enjoyed your interview with Tommy Tuberville, and I agree with him completely. I feel like that within 20 years, we're going to be fighting Islamists in the streets of this country. And my only worry is, I probably won't be here to see it, but my only worry is, what is the United States military going to do? Are they going to side with American patriots? Or are they going to side with the government, the corrupt government? That's what I worry about for my grandkids.
John, it's a legitimate concern you have here, and I've wondered that myself, because
I do believe that this is going to end in violence. And I'm not sure that our elected leaders, and we've seen this play out in Texas, and I know we have a lot of Texas listeners, and you guys can weigh in on this as well. But the reality is, I think not even Republicans have the stomach to stand up and fight the rise of Islam. Senator Tommy Tuberville is an anomaly in the Congress right now. I know there are probably about 50 or 60 Republican lawmakers who understand the threat that we are facing, John. But I just want someone to explain to me, tell me a nation that Islam has taken over where Christians and Jews are allowed to live in peace. What are those countries?
Well, there's not any, Todd. And the bad thing about it, another thing is, I've heard you talk several times about people paying for their crimes and stuff. It's never going to happen with these politicians. Nobody's ever going to go to jail. Nobody's ever going to be held accountable because they're all covering each other's back, Republicans and Democrats. I mean, they're all corrupt. And the fraud and waste that's going on in Minnesota, that's nationwide. It's happening everywhere. And if the American people could see all the billions of dollars that's being wasted, there'd be a revolution tomorrow.
John, I don't know if you heard Stephen Miller yesterday. He was just speaking at some sort of a press scrum, a gathering there in D.C. He said that if we got rid of all the corruption and all the grift that's happening in this country, you mentioned Somalia and Minnesota and Minneapolis, if we were able to get rid of all of that, we would be able to balance our budget. That is how much of our money is literally being stolen. And to your point, and I do believe this, that there are a lot of Republicans, not all, but there are a lot of Republicans who are just as guilty as the Democrats are. I think people have dirt on them. And I think that's one of the reasons why, for example, we're watching the Senate hem and haw over the Save America Act.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything. That's never going to go through. And Todd, I hate to say it, but I love your show, and I think you're a great American. But I think our country's lost already. I've gotten to where I try not to even worry about it anymore. I just try to live my life day to day and get by as well as I can, because I think it's over. I think it's just a matter of time.
John, I hope that's not the case, but I'm a hopeful person, and I hope that comes across on the show. You know, we're one of the few shows that calls everybody out, you know, because, again, I'm not beholden to anybody. You know, I love my country. I come from a working class family. And a lot of times those are the people that ultimately get screwed. They get shoved to the back of the line, except when it comes time to fight wars. And then they come knocking at the front door asking for your kids.
That's true.
And again, our family, we have served honorably all the way back to the War of Northern Aggression. And I think maybe even before that. But our family, you know, we're honored to be able to fight for this country. Our family, we've shed blood for this country. And it troubles me when we're getting into wars and we're going into places that we ought not to be in. But John, I want to say I've got to wrap it here, but I want to say I think you're spot on accurate. Let's have hope. We've still got to fight the good fight. And I just want to say thank you for serving our great nation, sir.
Thank you, Todd, and keep up the good work. And, I listen to you because I know I get the truth from you.
Yes, sir. Well, we do our very best here. I can tell you that. John, thank you. All right. Our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, suspicious device found outside of a New York City synagogue. It's a backpack, and there are a lot of wires protruding. We're going to keep you updated on that. We'll be right back, everybody. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show on St. Patrick's Day. Let's go to Iowa. Jerry is on the line. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
Happy St. Patrick's today. Today we're all Irish. That's about as good as I can do that. I want to talk about the nice Muslim and the nice illegal alien. And because I'm hearing about this in the churches, and the nice Palestinian. And they say, well, they're not doing the killing or the stealing or the illegal activities, but they are complicit with them. And that's what I think everybody needs to realize, that the nice Muslim and the nice illegal alien, the nice Muslim won't chop your head off, but if somebody else gets their head shot off, chopped off, or a National Guard person gets shot, or something, or the towers come down, they will internally do a little cheer, and you just ask them, because they believe the infidel has it coming. And so when people do this apologetic for the nice Muslim and the nice illegal, they are complicit with the invasion. Years ago, I intended a civil war in Central America, not as a combatant, but in a different capacity. And the goal was always to collapse the next country, to overwhelm the hospitals, overwhelm the law enforcement, get the next country over to be divided so that eventually they'd kill themselves, to take the jobs, take the housing, take the free money, aka the debt. So if you are supporting the nice Muslim in Minnesota Stan or wherever, and you are what you're doing is you're supporting the collapse from within. So be careful when you support the poor, sad Palestinian cause against the bad Israeli, the bad capitalist. You're really lots and lots of nice Muslims or nice illegals in your country are really they're playing the long game, and especially in the churches, I'm seeing it happen. They're apologizing for the rest of the country. Oh, we're so sorry. We can't have even more Muslims in the United States. The former caller was correct. The military guy is it'll break out later for your kids and your grandkids, and it will turn into conflict, and the sewer systems will be overwhelmed, and people will wonder why there's prisons everywhere. It sounds catastrophic, but if you've got to look at the long game. Study Rome, for goodness sake. This is not a time for ignorance. You've got to be kind to people, share the gospel with them, and we don't hate people, but try to realize that the nice Muslim and the nice illegal alien are there's a bigger plan here. So I just wanted to comment. So I appreciate you listening.
No, look, I'm glad you called in, Jerry. You know, one of the things that's always bothered me about and I hear the argument, it's that, you know, not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims. I get that. I've heard that before. Here's my problem is that we've been hearing from the imams in their mosques, and there are all sorts of videos on social media. And they're calling, you know, for death to America, you know, death to Israel. They want to kill the infidels, the gays. They want to throw out the buildings. I've never heard, and honest to goodness, and if you've heard somebody, a Muslim leader condemning this, I give me a call, because I have not heard a single Muslim, whether they be a leader or just, you know, whether they be there on their prayer rug, I've never heard any of them actually condemning that sort of rhetoric, because it's really not rhetoric. I mean, that's coming right out of their scriptures, the Quran, that people like me, I would be considered an infidel. And I think, again, it's just odd that nobody is condemning any of that kind of language, Jerry, and that bothers me.
Well, yeah, it's complicity. They are complicit with the nice Muslims are complicit with. We just had some National Guard troops killed here. They coming back to Iowa, and I'm not hearing any outrage from Imam Dummy or anybody for. I think he's been entertaining people who have associated with terrorists. It is interesting how silent they are, how much they complain about the unjust Americans and the unjust Israelis. But when something bad happens to us, they are silent.
Yeah, I don't get that. And I mean, everybody, nobody's condemning the rhetoric about, you know, killing all the Christians and the Jews. And that's
That is a little troubling to me. All right, Jerry, thank you for that. 901-260-5926. Big St. Patrick's Day celebration. You got the big parade in New York City. And Dylan, I thought, well, all of our celebrations were over the weekend.
Yeah, they've actually kind of already happened. It's set. Well, sort today's the day, though.
Yeah, so again, I don't understand, why didn't we have the parades today? Why did we have them over the weekend?
It's a school night. We can't be out late.
So there's some interesting data about the largest cities with a percentage of Irish ancestry in the population. And I'm surprised by the cities. What would you think is the number one city for the Irish?
I would have no clue.
Just take a wild guess.
Chicago.
No, that's wrong.
Only because the river. That's the only guess I have.
These are the largest cities. Boston. It's Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh wow!
They got the Irish. I would have guessed New York City. Right out of the gate, I would have guessed New York City. But New York City is not even on the list. This is crazy. It's Boston, Philadelphia, Louisville, Kentucky, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Nashville.
Nashville. Interesting.
Memphis, Tennessee is on the list. 7% of the city's population is Irish.
Wow.
I've got questions.
Me too. Actually, Boston does make sense because they're the Celtics, the NBA team. That does make sense.
Chicago, 8%.
Okay.
Northern I would Memphis. Think Chicago more Polish, I think, maybe Eastern European.
But I feel like they celebrate more than anyone on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. I would agree with that. And New Orleans, I would have thought maybe New Orleans. Now, there's a website called Religion Unplugged, and they also rank the top. This is like per capita, who has the most Irish pubs and Irish restaurants. And we have a great one. I'll get to that one in just a moment. New York City, number one. Number two is Tampa, Florida. Number three, San Francisco. Number four, Boston. And number five is Philadelphia.
Okay. They do it big.
Yeah. The least number of Irish pubs, Fort Worth, Wichita, Kansas, El Paso, Tucson, Arizona, and San Jose, California.
Interesting.
Yeah. We have a great Irish pub here.
Yes, we do.
It's called Bog and Barley. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're coming through, it's worth a visit. The owners actually had the entire bar and pub made in Ireland, and then it was shipped over and assembled in Memphis. And it looks like you're just walking into an old-school Irish pub.
Yeah, you get brought way back in time. Like, the wood, everything is so – it's very authentic. You just feel like you're in a different time.
And the food is insane. The fish and chips, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they put peas on a fish and chips platter.
I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm like, yeah, you can hold the piece.
You can hold the piece.
I'm good. But it's called Bog and Barley, and the chef is actually from bogandbarley.com is the website, and you'll get it. This is where I hang out. I love this place, and it's just a great story. The chef, I believe, if they've still got the same chef, he's from Ireland, and they do like an authentic, they have a whiskey lounge, they do the Sunday brunch. And it's like the Scotch eggs, the whole nine yards. It's like you're getting the authentic, real deal, Irish meal.
Yeah, and you can miss it if you're not careful. So you got to go if you're in Memphis. It's like a hidden gem almost.
You know, just the fact that they built all of this over, it's like a 7,100 square foot restaurant. It was designed and built in Ireland. Are you ready for this? 447 pieces. Even the booths were made in Ireland, and then they were assembled on right there on site.
I bet you there's no room to go for after the show, Todd. I bet you there's no room.
They're sold out. They'll be sold out. I mean, you've got to get a reservation.
Yeah.
You know, just to go. But the fish and chips are worth it. The tartar sauce, put it on a flip flop, baby. It is that good.
You and that flip flop.
I know it. I eat a lot of flip flops.
They have a great burger too, by the way. I don't know if you've had it. It's very good.
Do they really?
Yes.
I never would have thought that.
Yep.
But are you ready? $2.5 million.
Wow.
That's how much that it cost to build this thing. But it's pretty impressive. 901-260-5926. All that to say, if you're celebrating St. Patrick's Day, hope you're having a great day. Hope you can remember it. I remember when I was at New York City, my very first St. Patrick's Day, and they do it huge there in New York City. And people start showing up at, like, I don't know, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning for the parade. And they do the bar crawls. And that starts as soon as the sun rises. And I remember, Dylan, I was walking out. I was working the late night shift at Fox. So my hours were 9 p. to 6 a. And I remember walking out onto 6th Avenue. They call that the Avenue of the Americas. And the parade itself is just one block up on 5th Avenue. And so I'm walking out. I was going to, it was actually a nice morning. So I was going to, you know, walk home. You couldn't walk primarily because there were already people passed out drunk on the sidewalk.
6 a.m.
I'm like, what in the world is going on here?
They take it seriously. They have to get started early.
By the way, lowest average beer prices on this St. Patrick's Day. I am shocked by this. Madison, Wisconsin.
Wow.
I kind of figured they'd be a little pricey. Also, Jackson, Mississippi is on the list.
Oh, boy.
We don't judge. The highest beer prices, Arlington, Virginia, Jersey City, Philadelphia, Salem, Oregon. So you folks in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN, you're paying a chunk of change for a beer today. And then Anchorage, Alaska. Well, you got to drink Guinness, right?
I think that's the thing. I've had a Guinness. It's okay. They like celebrate the Guinness on today.
I will say that I have not been to the St. Paddy's Day celebration in Savannah, Georgia, but they say that is a lot of fun, and it's like on par with what you would get in New York City. So any of our Georgia listeners, if you've been to Savannah during St. Patrick's Day, let us know. But the overall best cities on St. Patrick's Day, Boston, Reno, Savannah, Overland Park, Kansas, Henderson, North Nevada, Omaha, Nebraska, and New York City. So there you go. Let's go to the phones here. Wallace in Ocala, Florida, listening to us on WOCA. Wallace, what's on your mind?
Man, God bless everybody. I love you guys. I was just scanning through the radio and found a talk show that really got me stirred up. Listen, I'm a general sports core guy.
Stormin' Norman.
Yes, I'm a no-nonsense guy. I would love to run to be the president of the United States. Tell you the reason why. America needs a father figure. They need a leader. A leader don't follow. We lead. And the problem that we're having in America is that we have been so liberal to the point that it's like wearing elastic pants. They just fall off. We have no borders as far as pertaining to standards of living. We're just out of whack. We're off-centered. And, you know, with the Democrats, Republicans, Independents, get rid of all of that. That system is broke. We need to vote for the individual personality of the person. That's why we got problems with the Democrats. This is why we got problems with the Republicans and Independents. Listen, the system is broke. I'm just going to be honest with you. Let's go back to the old ways and vote for the individual. Because right now, if we don't tighten up doing what Trump is doing, we will not be an American. I want you guys to listen to me. Because the Muslims, their resolution is the fact that in order to bring back their God, or whatever they call it, they have to start a revolution to bring him back. That's why they fight so much. I don't know if people know that. It's in the Quran. But with the Christian folks, we're looking for Christ to return to save those who have been redeemed. But for their iman, they have to fight to bring him back to destroy us as infidels. And it's in the Quran. It's right there. And I don't see why Americans we just sleep it until something happens. Then they say, well, why didn't somebody do something about it? Well, listen, guys, America, we need to get back to the Word of God and offer him up, because right now we are a sick nation.
It's really that simple. Wallace, I've got to ask you a question. What is that ticking noise in the background?
That is my emergency flashing. Hold on.
No, no, no. I just wanted to make sure nothing was about to blow up, so I'm glad it was your blinker. I was getting a little nervous for you there. No. You know, Wallace, no, first of all, I'm glad you were scanning and found WOCA, and we're on the station noon to 3 every day, Monday through Friday. And I'm with you. The answer to all of this is for our nation to return to God. We need a great revival to happen in this nation.
And I think our churches especially have to get serious about teaching the word and also teaching about the dangers of these religions like Islam. I think we have a very uneducated population, and they don't know the history of Islam. So we've got to make sure that we're teaching the next generation history so they can understand the context of why a lot of folks are getting very nervous about where this country is headed.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Listen, hands down on that, because nothing ever should be mentioned about having a Sharia law even mentioned, tabled in the United States. When I first heard that, I'm like, are you kidding me? You can't do that over there. They're going to cut your head off.
Yep.
So why are we being so liberal in America? Oh, y'all can come on in, do what you want, how you want it, how long you want it, and who you want it. Come on. Where's the standards in America? And I'm a pastor, and I'm telling you right now, we need to get back to God, lift him up. And he said, listen, he'll straighten it out. God's going to straighten it out. We need to support our president, because if we don't get those guys down, they're going to get us down. And you guys, let me tell you something right now. They got cell groups right now. They ain't saying a word. That's why you don't see them cheering. They're just setting it up, and they're waiting for the right time. And they're going to catch us in the malls. They're going to catch us in the airports. They're going to catch us at the bus stop. Guys, listen to me. You need to have discernment, America. Please wake up. These people are not your friend. They're your worst enemy. Mm. They'll smile in your face and stab you in your back at the same time.
Well, Wallace, we'll call you Pastor Wallace. Pastor Wallace, don't be a stranger. Give us a holler back one of these days. And I appreciate what you said, because it's the God's honest truth. And that's the solution. But we have a clear and present danger that we're staring at right now in this country, everybody. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, we're very excited about my brand new book. The forthcoming book is titled The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And not only do we celebrate the incredible accomplishments of President Trump, but I also provide a path forward on how we can take up Trump's mantle and carry it beyond the midterm elections. So the book is coming out in May, but you can pre-order a copy right now by going to Barnes & Noble, go to Amazon, Books A Million, wherever you buy your books. But we're really encouraging folks to buy Barnes & Noble. They look at those pre-order numbers, and that will determine their big book buys once the book actually hits bookstores. So again, head over in the break, get yourself a pre-order copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Can't wait for you to read this one, folks. Hang tight, Hour 3 coming up.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Great to have you with us today. Dylan, I have some breaking news to share.
Yes. Did you want me to hit the sounder for this?
Yeah, that was kind
we pay
of the
for it. We pay for
that was kind of the point.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stearns Show.
Now, I want to bring in our good friend Parker May, who is the sports director at KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship radio station. Also, a student at university. And Parker, we got to talk about the brackets, NCAA March Madness brackets in just a minute. But Parker, you doing well? Life treating you good?
Life is treating me good and very busy at that. But thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So I wanted you to hear this, Parker. I don't want you to hear it just somewhere on the streets. You know, I think it's important that you, Parker May, and you have been a part of our team for almost 5-6 years. It's been a long time.
Yeah, at least four or five by now.
At least. So, Dylan, and I want you to hear this. It turns out that I have been asked to be an endorser on the Instagram. There's a product has reached out to me, that the makers of this product, and they want yours truly to endorse their product.
You've made influencer status, I hear.
Does that make me an influencer?
It kind of does, yeah.
Parker, I mean, you're kind of, this is like your age demographic here. Does that mean that I'm somebody now?
I think you already were somebody. This is the next level for you. And my first question immediately is, I need to know what this product is.
Gentlemen, brace yourselves. I have lips, beautiful lips, and a company wants my lips.
This is not a good start.
To sell their product.
This is not a great.
It's an organic lip balm company, and they love my lips. Apparently, they're luscious. Now, I personally have known this. I just never wanted to be braggadocious about it, but, you know.
I'm glad someone else finally noticed.
Or maybe
someone's taking advantage of this.
Or maybe they're just chapped and they felt bad for me. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one way or the other.
So this is interesting. It's a company called 4 Organics NYC, New York City, and they sell organic lip balm. And so they want me to consider hawking their product, and it just arrived in the mail, guys, which at first I thought this was a joke. I'm like, oh, I've heard that before. I have luscious lips. Yeah, I've heard that line a time or two.
It was telling you this.
Let's move on. So anyway, for those of you watching, they sent me the lip balm here, and it's all organic. So it's not, you know, I guess they put a lot of weird stuff in lip balm.
Does that mean you can eat it? Is that what organic means?
I think you could actually use it like, I don't know, like a condiment, like for like a sandwich. You could, like, you know, smear it.
In your case, a flip-flop?
Possibly.
Yeah.
It's 100% USDA organic ingredient, so I think you could eat it. It's got something called organic coconut oil, organic beeswax, organic, is it jojoba oil? Jojoba.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of those.
And organic peppermint oil.
Wow. Does it have a scent?
Hold on. I'm trying to open it up. Parker, are you a lip balm guy? I don't want to get too personal here. Are you a lip balm guy?
I usually am not. But I'm very happy that they selected you for this.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I should. You know, I've got the material. It smells delicious.
What does it smell like? What is it? What's
the smell? It smells like peppermint.
Okay, good.
It smells like peppermint.
We have a lot of peppermint in the studio.
I'm not sure if I really want to anoint my lips on air. That's the issue.
Seems like you kind of have to, though, eventually.
Yeah.
You're going to have to put it on Instagram, so it might as well do it on the air.
So, I don't know. My question is, are my lips going to be like in a commercial, or am I going into the photo studio? I'm a lip model now?
These are the kinds of questions you need to ask.
I'm going to talk to my agent about this.
Yeah.
I know Parker, you know, we're getting ready to redo our store, and Parker's going to be like, you know, wearing our KWAM gear. So maybe I could get pointers from him. Parker May.
Hey, you're the one getting influencer deals now.
This is true. So maybe I'm an expert. So any real people, real results. So there you go.
I'm excited for you, Todd. This is big.
4 lip balm. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my news, guys. I'm I'm a lip balm endorser.
So happy.
We are very excited for you.
Thank you, Parker. I can feel the pride. I sense it. Jeez, Alou. They sent me multiple. I'll be sure to pass them around.
Yeah, please share. Because like this has gone too far. Like your lips are not the only lips here.
I'm the only lips that matter, though.
Can we stop talking about
according to the endorsers? Guys, I'm kind of getting creeped out right now. I'm just getting a little weird. So maybe we should move on.
Yeah.
Can we talk about basketball? Yeah. So, Parker, this is kind of exciting. March Madness brackets, people are filling them out. I know the lovely Cheryl, who's like this sweet sort of like grandmotherly figure in the building. She came rushing in and she said, "Here are the brackets. I need your money." I'm like, whoa. But apparently it's a big deal. How do you feel about this year's tournament?
It's going to be an exciting tournament, to say the least. Last year's tournament was kind of chalk with all four number one seeds making it to the Final Four, but we've yet to see a really dominant team emerge. Obviously, you got the likes of Duke, Arizona, Florida, and Michigan as your one seeds, but I think this will be a wide-open tournament. I'm very excited to watch.
Anybody, have you already filled out your brackets?
I have, and I have left it time to have some changes because, as I said, it's a wide-open field, so I'm not certain, but I really like Arizona so far. It's kind of the team I've been leaning with, Arizona or Duke, as kind of my champion.
All right. Dylan, what about you? Who are you liking?
This is like the year that I haven't paid attention to any basketball, so I'm completely out of the loop on who's even good. But Duke looks pretty good. I mean, I'm kind of biased towards the number one seeds, especially Parker mentioned last year it was all number ones. I'm hoping that a Cinderella team will come out of it, but I'm looking at the list here. I don't really know which team that would be. Maybe South Florida, since maybe there's a little bias there since they're in our conference, the Memphis Tigers conference, but we'll see.
Parker, for somebody like Dylan who hasn't been paying attention, you know, but they do want to, you know, get into the office bracket pool, what would you recommend they do as opposed to just randomly, you know, guessing teams?
Absolutely. And there's no secret or magic touch to filling out a perfect bracket, but there are certain things that you need to look at, and everybody loves to pick the upsets, but I want to help you pick the right ones. Because every year we look at the 5-12 matchups and the 6-11 and the 7-10, because you usually always see one of those. So I want to try to find the right one at each of those seed lines. Starting off, Dylan, you hit it right on the head with South Florida in the 6-11 matchup against Louisville. I really like them potentially as a Cinderella team to make the Sweet 16. They would potentially play Michigan State in the second round, so I really like their path. A 12 seed you might want to look at would be High Point playing Wisconsin in the first round. They match up really well with them. Would be a potentially tough matchup against Arkansas in the second round, but I like their draw as well. And then for a 10 seed, I really like Santa Clara, a team out of the West Coast Conference, similar conference to Gonzaga. A tough matchup with Kentucky in the first round, but I think they have the size to match up with them really well.
Wow, that's man, he came loaded for bear today.
Yeah, so. And I think those are the games that people really, like, they care about more than a number one seed versus a 16 seed, because those are the games that really are going to determine, is my bracket going to be good or is it going to be the worst thing ever? Because, you know, you take that team, you take them far along, and then they lose, and then you're out.
It's interesting, guys. The last time all the number one seeds made the Final Four was 2008.
Wow.
Kansas, North Carolina, UCLA, and
Memphis Tigers.
That's it. So there's a guy, Parker, this is great. There's a math professor at Davidson College, and he ran 5,000 games through his models, and he thinks that he's come up with the final four, and he's predicting that all the number one seeds are gonna reach the final four: Duke, Florida, Michigan, and Arizona.
I could see it happening. In all honesty, I know it's tough just to predict it through a computer, but I don't know. I think there are a few that are really on upset potential. I think the number one seed most likely to fall, in my opinion, is Florida, especially with Houston in their region. So, but I like the number one seeds this year a lot, Todd.
Yeah, it's good. And by the way, Memphis, all you KWAM listeners, Rhodes College, they made the tournament. So that's kind of exciting, Parker May.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for them, especially a school that is getting back into the right form. They have a well-coached team, so really excited for them.
Parker May joining us, a sports director at KWAM News Radio. Also, do we want to say where you go to school? I want to kind of protect where you go to school, but you're like a basketball, you're a basketball team, what, manager? You're on the team there at the school you go to. Are we allowed to say the name of the school?
Yes, absolutely we can. So I work for the basketball team here at Stanford University, and we just wrapped up our season last week.
It's a great team, and I saw that they were actually they were highlighting you in like a video reel or something. They keep you pretty busy.
Yes, they do. So It's been a great role with them now. Just finished my third season, so very excited.
Parker, by the way, we've had, of course, some big news here, and Dylan, I want you to weigh in as well. The big question was Penny Hardaway, of course, one of the great NBA stars, came back home, coached, high school and AAU, and then became head coach of the Memphis Tigers 8 seasons ago. And first time losing season, they're bringing him back. Do you think that's a good move?
I do, just because I feel like the way Memphis fans are kind of attached to him as just such a Memphis legend playing here in college and then having great NBA success, it'd be tough for fans to get behind a new hire. But I do think this is one of their last hopes with Penny Hardaway, just because after a very disappointing 13-19 season, he's making a lot of staff changes, four assistant coaches now being fired. So looking to bring in a general manager in the next week to kind of help with NIL and the transfer portal. So a really critical season coming up for Penny Hardaway.
Dylan.
I don't think the players are listening to him. That's the problem. I think, like, he's a great recruiter. He's always been a great recruiter. We get the top recruits most years. But I think another factor that goes into this is his buyout. His buyout is like $6 million, and that's a lot of money. So they would rather keep him, maybe have a decent, mediocre season than get rid of him right now. So we'll see how he does. I hope he does well.
I think it's funny, though, because last season he got rid of all of his assistant coaches. And so these are the new batch that just got fired. He's had, since he's been here, guys, he's had well over 14 assistant coaches, which it makes you wonder if maybe the problem has not been resolved just yet.
It's been a really interesting dynamic. You mentioned the over 14 assistant coaches. Now, some of them have gone on to be head coaches. One of his former assistant coaches is actually in March Madness this year at Tennessee State, but a lot of them have just not worked out at Memphis, and we'll see if this next group can kind of be the right puzzle pieces.
Yeah. All right. Have you done spring break yet, Parker?
We have. It was last week, so now getting back into the full swing of the semester and excited for March Madness to get going this week.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to get you back on because we want to talk brackets and bracketology, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Dylan, we got to fill out our brackets. Cheryl's going to come after us.
Yeah, she's asking for the money, and we don't have the money. But
I'll send you some. I'll spot you.
Please, thank you.
I'll spot you some cash.
She's gonna hurt me.
All right, Parker May, everybody. Parker, great hearing from you, my friend.
Absolutely, looking forward to being back.
All right, there you go, Parker May. He sent me a note last night. He was like, "We need to talk. I need to find out what I'm doing this summer." So we're excited to bring him back.
We're always welcome him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's the best.
Yeah. He actually did play-by-play for football, high school football, and that's how he got started. So anyway, great guy. He's going to be – what you're going to hear Parker calling games, like at UT or one of the big schools. I think Parker's a big Auburn guy, though. So
he is.
I may have just offended him.
That's tough on him, but we'll forgive him.
We'll work on that. All right, 901-260-5926. Good luck on your brackets. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, President Trump making his way to Capitol Hill, and the Senate is getting ready to do something with the Save America Act. We're going to keep you updated on that. Also, story out of Seattle where Starbucks workers are going on strike, and they just got a master class in economics. We'll tell you all about that as well. We'll be right back. Oh, wow. Dylan, during the break, all of us except for Helen. We ran out of lip balm.
Ironically, Helen was the only one that didn't try the lip balm.
Whoops. We tried the new organic lip balm, and they're wanting me to become an endorser for their product. And I wanted to research. I wanted to make sure they weren't some sort of like far leftist organization, and this might have been a domestic terrorist attack to take out my luscious lips.
Yeah.
But it turns out they're on the up and up.
Pretty good, actually.
It's a good lip balm, right?
Yeah, I told you my lips started tingling, and I was, am I allergic, is what I asked.
I think it's the tingle is what they're in.
It's supposed to be, mm-hmm. Yeah. Very pepperminty.
Yeah, Ian, the intern, was able to sample it as well. Did he?
I think he liked it.
Yeah. All right, good.
I think he's good.
Sorry, so we're getting a thumbs up here.
Yeah, we're getting a thumbs up.
All right, this is good. All right. So I was going to try my hand because, now I'm going to have to do like a commercial for them.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, my voice is actually insured by the insurance company. So if something ever happens, you know, to the voice, you know, I'll, you know, be able to survive. But I'm wondering now if I should get my lips insured.
Maybe.
I had no idea.
They may be the true star of the show.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? So we're putting together a commercial. We're just trying out some things here. So maybe our great listeners can help us out if this is the right mood to sell. Because, you know, we have like MyPillow and all these others. So let's give it a shot here. Oh, I like that. Our mission is passionate, yet simplistic. 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 Let us return back to the basics. To a time when red dye number 40 was only used to paint your car. As consumers, we go tired of trying to pronounce chromolithium or wondering what its purpose is. Our lip balm is raw, raw, pure, balanced, and most importantly, 100% organic. Your lips will save you. Four lip balm. Oh, what do you think?
I'm kind of creeped out, actually.
Really? I was kind of getting into it there.
You'd think it's like summer vibes, but you're kind of like haunted house vibes.
Oh, geez. You don't want the haunted house vibes. Yeah.
we'll test more.
I was still shooting for the Cracker Barrel endorsement, but whatever. We'll take what we can get. All right, hang tight, everybody, if you're still there. We'll be right back. All right. Top of the Irish to you. Todd O'Starns here with you today. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're having a happy St. Patrick's Day. Dylan, I'm feeling the tingle now.
Me too.
I'm getting is it just me? But, again, I don't have a return feed, so I can't see, but it feels like my lips are somewhat plumper now.
They're glistening for sure.
They feel plump.
You may be allergic.
Oh, my God. It's like that time I got stung by a bee. Good Lord.
Right on the kisser.
I look like one of those gals from Mar-a-Lago.
Maybe that's what they do. Maybe this is the secret.
Vicky Gandy says, I love my lips. That should be your new theme song. Thank you, Vicky, from listening to us on KWAM. The next person, we're getting messages from the ladies of the Todd Starnes Listening Show audience. And let me just say, we have the most beautiful women in all of America that listen to this program. And she is asked to be anonymous. Liberty Lips by Starnes. Oh, I like that. That wow. Has a nice ring to it. Patriot Pucker Balm.
They're so fast with these. This is good.
No chapped opinions. Jeez. Brace yourself for this one. Hot Takes Smooth Lips.
Oh.
Oh, that's my. I'm putting that on a bumper sticker.
You're choosing that one?
I'm putting that on the bumper sticker. Okay. Yeah, we got to.
I want to see you rolling around with that.
Hot takes. Maybe that can be a license plate. Can we get a...
Someone's going to be very confused.
Can we get a vanity plate? Patriot Pucker Ball. You guys are very clever out there. I tell you, we also have a very clever audience as well. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Now I can't feel my lips. 901-260-5926. So we're always excited over at Newsmax to welcome over former Fox colleagues, and Tracy Burns is one of those individuals. Tracy worked for many years at Fox Business, one of the smartest ladies I know when it comes to finance, and she's written this great new book on how to make sure that you are deducting every single thing humanly possible. Maybe since we talked about the lip balm, you could even deduct your lip balm from your taxes. We had a great conversation, though, about also what's been happening in Washington State, where they are enacting these socialist policies. Now, before we go to Tracy, I want to play this audio. I told you about Seattle, the Starbucks strikers. By the way, the former CEO of Starbucks moving from Seattle, Washington, because of the massive tax increases
moving and relocating to Florida. But anyway, Starbucks workers are on strike, and they got a master class in economics the other day. Take a listen.
The Starbucks in University Way will close its doors next month. The announcement comes just weeks after the end of a three-month strike at that location. The shop's last day will be April 5th. A manager at the University Way shop says that the strike ended because workers couldn't afford to continue without pay. Employees say they were not given a specific reason for the closure and that Starbucks told the location workers that they would not be able to transfer to different locations.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what happens when you're a moron. So anyway, good luck to you, former Starbucks. They went out on strike, and so the business shut down. Go figure. Anyway, here's our conversation with Tracy Burns.
Joining me now is Tracy Burns, author of the great new book that you need to read, Deduct Everything, Hundreds of Tax Tips, Legal Write-Offs, Credits, and Loopholes. Tracy is also the Vice President of Women and Investing at Leventhal Global Advisors. Tracy, after the show, I want you to help me figure out if I can deduct our interview from my taxes as well. Congratulations on the great book, by the way.
Thank you very much, Todd.
All right. So let's just jump into this. What a mess in New York City. We all sort of knew this was coming. Is that going to be enough now to bridge this, what they're talking about, a $7 billion budget hole that New York City is facing?
I mean, you might as well just hire the moving trucks and hand those out instead of free bus rides, because that's what's going to happen. People are just going to move out. And the thing is, Todd, wealthy people have the money to move. You can pick up, you can go, you can claim residency in another state and still keep the little pied-à-terre in Manhattan if you so choose. But you don't have to claim residency there, and you don't have to pay into the tax system if you don't want. It's the families, lower and middle income families that are working so hard, that get on the buses every day to go to jobs in hospitality and all the things that go on in Manhattan. They can't pull their kids out of school and pick up and move and find another job. So the only people he's hurting are the people that voted for him, Todd.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. And of course, you know, the business community, too, they're packing up, moving. They've been attacking Mamdani's plans. Here's what Bill Ackman wrote on X. Guys, if we can pull this up, Mamdani's strategy appears to be to make NYC an unattractive place to live and to die. And again, Tracy, going back to that $750,000, you know, for somebody living in, say, the middle of Oklahoma, you're like, holy cow, that's big money. That is not big money when it comes to buying property in New York City proper.
No way. Try buy a condo on $750,000 these days. Good luck. And between the cost of food and now fuel and all the things, they're going to hit a lot of families with this, struggling to make ends meet. And now you're saying that everything I worked for above $750,000 is going to be taxed? That's crazy. I'd be on the first moving truck out of there if my residence was New York City. And don't forget, Todd, those people pay tax at the federal level, at the state level, and at the city level as it is. They're getting hammered to begin with. This just throws another nail in the coffin, if you ask me.
It's insane. Let me tell you how bad it's getting. I live in Tennessee now, my home state. You know, we make biscuits here. We got more bagel shops popping up all over the place to accommodate all the New Yorkers coming to town. It's insane. I want to switch
there's
gears.
There's a reason why there's a ton of Italian delis in New York. In Florida now. That's exactly why there's a lot of Italian delis in Florida now, too.
Yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I want to switch gears. We got to talk about Washington State. It's insane there, too. Lawmakers are passing a so-called millionaire's tax. So it's going to impose about a 9.9% on income over $1 million for individuals or couples in a household. And there are a lot of folks out there that are already looking to pack up and head east.
Can you blame them? I mean, again, this is the same thing. I don't know why they don't realize that people with money can move. I'll tell you who this is going to hurt, though. There's a huge, and I'm a wine drinker, admittedly, but there's a beautiful wine industry in Washington State. They can't pick up and move those vineyards. Much like Napa, what they did to them in Napa. They're doing the same thing now because those families, those are family-owned businesses. They can't pick up and move those vines to, let's call it, Tennessee to come have bagels with you. It just doesn't work that way. So those people are going to get really, really hurt. Plus all the people they hire. The ripple effects of these things are far and wide, and it boggles my mind why politicians don't see that.
And Tracy, there's a report out from the Association of Washington Business. They did a survey. 44% of businesses are open to relocating either all or part of their companies. And we're not talking about the businesses, you know, uprooting and going somewhere else. We're talking about taking jobs with them. At what point do you think these folks are going to get it that this is bad business all around?
Right. When Florida, Texas, Tennessee become overpopulated, I guess, because that's where everyone's going, because those states are good for business, good for families. They're not taking every piece of your paycheck back to the state. And they're trying to help you live a beautiful life. All these other states, mine included in New Jersey, by the way, are trying to make up for bad mistakes. And they're so deep in the hole right now that it's so difficult to catch up, because as we just said, the wealthy can leave, the lower and the middle class, they can't move as fast or as easy. And they're the ones that are going to get screwed with all this.
All right, our good friend Tracy Burns, we're going to get her on the radio show as we get closer to income tax time. She is a brilliant mind, and this book that she wrote about how you can deduct everything is just really, really remarkable. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. A lot going on today. Tonight, by the way, on Newsmax, the Todd Stearns Show, we have a jam-packed program. Congressman Pete Sessions joins us. Congressman Tom McClintock is going to be along. Also, we've got to come up with a name for this panel. Mary Walter and Kay Smythe Hill, they join me every Tuesday, and it's insane. We're thinking about calling the segment Todd's Hot Conservative Babes, but we're having some issues with HR to get that approved. And if you have any ideas for a good name for the ladies panel on the Todd Stearns Show, I'd greatly appreciate it. Also, Josh Jones is going to be with us this evening, and our good buddy Joe Thomas, who is the host of First Thing Today. He is a nationally syndicated talk radio host, and Joe is a great guy. You hear this program on the radio station he owns, WTON. So anyway, going to be a lot of fun and a lot of great guests coming up on the Todd Stearns Show tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. 70 million Americans, that's the number, 70 million right now get Social Security benefits of some kind. There is a brand new study out, and it shows that 70% of the 70 million, you guys are not getting the full benefits that you deserve. Now, there's a good guy named Michael Allen. He is a Social Security expert, and he says there are 5 key strategies to increase your benefits by as much as $188,000 over your lifetime. It is in a free special report, compliments of Newsmax. All you have to do is call Newsmax to get this free guide. No strings attached. 1-800-999-9690. Again, 800-999-9690. We're going to text it to you right away. All the information, text and data rates may apply. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, NCAA reminding all teams that are traveling to Tampa to wear pants in the airport, in the international airport. Of course, Tampa banning. What did they tell them? Don't wear pajama pants. I think they said it was a joke, but I don't know. I don't know about that. By the way, Dylan, you know, we were talking about airline travel. Did you know that back in the 1970s, American Airlines, they had a brand new fleet of Boeing 747s. These are massive, massive jets. 303 seats just in economy class.
Wow.
But there was a problem. Not that many people wanted to fly back in the 1970s. And the economy, they hit a recession, and a lot of those airplanes were just flying half empty. And the first class was fine, but coach was another problem. So they did something very interesting, Dylan. They ripped out 50 of those coach seats from the far back of the airplane. So the very back of the airplane, they took out 50 seats, and they turned it into a full-blown piano bar.
Ooh.
They literally installed a real piano, a Wurlitzer electric piano, in every one of their airplanes. And I guess they bolted it so it didn't, you know, move around. And they had a full bar, and they actually had live piano. It was not
it wasn't like, you know, recorded music. They actually had real musicians playing live sets at 35,000 feet.
This is fascinating. I kind of like it.
They called it, and by the way, they had Frank Sinatra Jr. was brought into play. Passengers literally sang along. They had cocktails, and they were able to smoke cigarettes, so they smoked cigarettes.
I forgot that you guys did that.
But here's the thing. Well, I didn't do it, but yeah, back in the day, you were, yes.
You guys, general, you know.
But it's interesting. It was only open to coach passengers, so that was like the party end of the airplane. And then first class had to stay upstairs in their area.
Wow. First class probably felt a little bummed for that.
Right? Exactly. I mean,
you got the short end of the stick there.
You got music and dancing and booze and, you know, cigarettes, cancer.
All the above. All the things to make an airplane flight.
People literally dancing in the airplane.
Did the pianist have his own seat, like a seat belt? If the turbulence hit?
You know, it's funny. I'm looking at the photo, and no, he did not. So I'm just, a little concerned by that.
Would he still be playing?
It's on a regular piano bench, but the piano bench is clearly bolted to the floor.
These are the questions that I want to know.
You know, your grandparents is really funny. Your great-grandparents actually bought an organ, one of those Kimball organs, and they actually went to organ playing class. And it had like little presets for like the Bossa Nova beat or the Watusi.
Yeah.
And you learned how to play.
That's pretty cool.
It was like all the rage back in the 70s.
I love a good organ.
And then my parents would want like a date night. So we got stuck going with Meemaw and Pawpaw to organ lessons at the Southgate Mall in Whitehaven. If anybody listening to us in Memphis remembers that.
Did you learn how to play?
No, just a little bit, but your cousins were like all over it.
The organ is hard. It's not a normal piano. You have like several different things that you do at once.
Yeah, but man, I love that Watusi beat and the Bossa Nova.
Mm.
Yeah, for Taco Tuesday, you know, got to have a little bit of fun.
Of course.
This news, ladies and gentlemen, and this is great news for those of you who love chocolate. The headline, eating chocolate while studying helps the brain retain new information. And it's also linked to higher test scores. This is exciting. The study in the magazine Appetite showed that students who snacked on chocolate while cracking a book scored higher on memory, focus, and reasoning skills compared to those who did not. But it's dark chocolate. That's the key here. Dark chocolate. They say that dark chocolate helps contribute to better blood flow. It also boosts dopamine, supporting learning, memory, and motivation. And even a single serving can improve memory and reaction time within hours. There you go. Regular consumption of dark chocolate is linked to stronger performance on tests of reasoning, focus, and verbal memory.
Sounds great, but you have to eat dark chocolate.
You got to eat. Yeah. What about the milk? I mean, it seems to me that milk chocolate is just watered down dark chocolate.
Yeah.
So maybe you have to eat twice as much.
Maybe we could be a part of an experiment there.
I'm willing. Yeah. I mean, you know, if they
I'm down.
I'm just saying if they're willing, I'm happy to have that discussion. All right. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I really do think that if the airlines would come up with something clever, and I think the problem is that far too many airlines, they're dropping the ticket prices so low that it's like becoming, I don't know, Greyhound in the air, like you're riding a bus. But if they were to add like piano bars on a lot of the flights, I think you get a higher clientele of passenger.
You might have people wearing pants again.
At the very least.
Bring back pants.
And shoes. Can we do flip-flops? And shoes? Oh, my goodness. All right, ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, head over to barnesandnoble.com, and get yourself a pre-ordered copy of my brand-new book. It's coming out late April, early May. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. I want you to read this book, and I want you to get a copy for if you have a teenager or maybe you have a teenage grandchild, or you are a teenager and you're listening, I want you to get a copy of this book. it is going to truly radicalize this country, or radicalize in the sense of we're going to get back to the foundations of our founding fathers. This is going to be a great read, and I want you to get a copy of it. Again, Barnes & Noble. You can also order at Amazon, Books a Million, but we're really pushing everybody to Barnes & Noble so we can boost those pre-sale numbers. So anyway, been a great show. A little weird today. I think that may be the lip balm talking. I'm not gonna lie to you folks, but I do feel tingly. All right, we'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Everybody, be good and safe, America.